Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
What's the best gig you've ever been to? Throughout the summer, we would like to hear some of your stories of the gigs that really stand out in your memory and why. And give us just a taste of the excitement of live music that we are all looking forward to getting back to without COVID restrictions. Plus, we're going to be able to play a little bit of music along the way as well. So to kick us off, Shea Byrne is here in studio to talk about some of his golden gigs and what makes a great gig. But please do send us in your suggestions. Tell us about the gig you loved, maybe include a line or two about why it is so memorable for you. Email them to todaycb@rt.ie or text 51551 or tweet at Today with Claire. Now, Shea Byrne, good morning, and thank you very much for revealing my enormous crush on Sophie Ellis-Bextor to the nation just before Morning Ireland this morning.
It was an absolute pleasure this morning to play Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and I knew that you were a fan. So I spun it this morning. So, and talk about memorable gigs. We were in Westport, and she played the main stage, and she was amazing. And she did all her pop tunes, and she had her new album, and she was playing songs from the album, which sometimes can be a bit of a downer when they play songs from the new album. But she was great.
Murder on the dance floor, Sophie. Just get on with it.
Well, we had a tent there. Radio 1 had a tent, and we were expecting maybe that she might pop over to say hello. An hour after the gig, as she's changed, I'd say 4 minutes after she came over the main stage, she arrived in an electric cart, quick change, and straight on stage. And she was the most, and you love this, she was the most lovely person you could ever hope to meet.
I would have been in a complete puddle. I would have been absolutely useless.
And she sang Murder on the Dance Floor with just a piano.
Oh, really?
And it's on YouTube if you ever want to see it. And I want to say from the outset about this, because we're going to do this for the summer, not me, but people who are listening are going to send in emails and send texts and tweets, and we're hoping to hear those. This is not just about the Leonard Cohen gig or the Bruce Springsteen gig or the Elton John gig. This is about the local gig. This is about the festival. This is about the GAA pitch where the country stars and the locality were playing. This is about a gig, and it's why it's personal to you and what's important.
Yeah, and it's not always just about the music or the artist. I mean, it's a difficult question here, really, isn't it? Because it's like asking somebody, what's your favourite lasagna? Because it depends on who you were eating it with, who had made this particular one, what day of the week it was, all of those kind of things come into play with your favourite gig.
Who were you with at the time? If it was outdoors, was the weather good? If you went to Slane, what was the torturous route you took to get there? How many times did you stop to go to the toilet? There were so many things. I went to see Guns N' Roses in Slane, and it was torturous to get there. We were worried the gig was going to be terrible, but actually the gig was amazing. So that's at one level. And then another level, a number of years ago, I got asked to go to a charity fundraiser. The tickets were £50 each. That'll tell you how long ago it was. And myself and...
Are you that old?
I'm 48, nearly 49. And we were asked to go to the gig, and it was in a school hall in Blackrock. And Christy Moore was to make an appearance. So I was like, okay, well, Christy's going to come in for 5 minutes, play a song and disappear. And we got there. Christy Moore played an hour and a bit with just him and his guitar in the school hall and 120 people.
You know what makes any live Christy Moore gig great? He has the sensibility and he has the repertoire to read the mood of the nation absolutely perfectly and pick all the right songs and the right way to talk to people every single time. For my money, anyway.
Can we have a listen to?
Let's.
As one by one we fell asleep, Gioxer had a dream. He dreamt himself and Jack Charlton sat down to pick the team. Gioxer dreamt they both agreed and Packy Bonner straight away, and that Moore and Whelan and McGraw were certainly to play. But tempers they began to rise, patience weren't in. Jack wanted Cascarino, but Gioxer wanted Quinn. And the dream turned into a nightmare. Gioxer stuck the head in Jack, who wanted to bring Johnny Giles and Eamon Dunphy back. Oh, well, the cock crew in the morning. It crew but loud and shrill, and Gioxer woke up in his sleeping bag many miles from Arbor Hill. And next morning, none of the experts gave us the slightest chance. They said that the English team would lead us on a merry dance. Oh, with their Union Jacks, all them English fans, for victory they were set. Until Ray Houghton got the ball and he stuck it in the net. Hey! Hey!
We are both smiling. You can keep your soccer anthems. I'll have that soccer ballad any day. Thank you very much.
So that's from the biggest gig in Slane to the smallest gig. You know, for me, and these are personal things, we went to see Neil Sedaka at the National Concert Hall, and people go, Neil Sedaka? He's one of these people I want to see before they're not able to tour anymore. He was extraordinary.
Really?
He sat down at a piano. He hadn't got his hair on, because in the poster he had his hair. He came out without his hair. He kind of shuffled onto the stage. He's not great on his feet. And he sat down and he kind of looked at the audience. He went, I've been writing and playing songs for 40 years. Here we go. And he went straight through them all. And in between, he told us stories about Tin Pan Alley, about working with Frank Sinatra. So it was like a history lesson. And we came away just blown away by
it. And what was good about it was that it was unexpected for you?
I think as much unexpected, the quality of the music, the quality of the venue, the National Concert Hall is a wonderful venue, and his ability to engage with the audience.
You look forward to probably never work. I mean, for me, U2 at Croke Park, which you should think is something every Irish person should go and see, that was a real anti-climax, certainly by comparison with U2 doing the Zoo TV tour at the RDS, which was just out of this world.
So you wonder what the factors are. Is it the songs? Is it the albums? Did you know the music? Neil Sedaka, the music is well known. He wrote Amarillo. He wrote Calendar. He wrote all those songs. But then it goes to, I mean, similar to that, take that in Croke Park. It was 2009.
You didn't.
Well, I didn't want to. I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to. But I was dragged along and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I knew most of the songs. They put on a fabulous show.
You are a 15-year-old girl at heart, though, really, aren't you?
I've no problem with that. They came in on a cloud of balloons. They had an animatronic elephant. They came down a zip catwalk on unicycles. It was just entertainment from there, from beginning to end. I never expected to. And then a couple of years later, I'm in Tradfest and I have tickets to Aoife Scott. Wonderful, wonderful Aoife Scott. And she's there in a small room with a guitarist and just playing away.
You've set that up perfectly. Wild Atlantic Way, Aoife Scott. On those big gigs, you mentioned it at the beginning, the logistics of getting to and from Slane, and it always seems to be the thing that most people spend more time than talking about than the actual gig. What gigs at Slane have transcended the getting to and from for you?
Well, again, Queen. I wasn't at that many Slane gigs. First of all, I couldn't afford it. That was at the time. The bigger gigs, the Queen gig, some of the gigs in the past. The thing about that particular, I wasn't at the first Guns N' Roses concert. This was 25 years later. We went with a group of lads who all went to school together, who wanted to be, some of them trying to squeeze into the t-shirts they wore in 1990. That's gone on, lads. 25 years and 25 pounds ago. What transcended it was, and the usual problems, and the weather was atrocious as well. It was very soggy, then the sun shone, then it went back in. But there was a rift between Axl Rose and Slash. They were talking, they got back together, for this gig. So the expectations were low. Everything about logistics and beer and food and toilets, that was all as expected. We knew it was going to be hours and hours. It took 4 hours to get home, but the gig was very memorable. It was extraordinary. And I think that's nostalgia as much as anything else, that the music was being played from our youth, from the teen years, from 88 to kind of mid-90s.
And you'd have to work for it as well to get there.
To worry. I got
and to get home.
Lose your friends 4 times, no signal. I know we're tight for time, but I want to tell you, sometimes gigs are memorable for the wrong things. Julio Iglesias in Dublin was memorable because he was awful. And poor Pat Egan, who was promoting, gave the money back. He came onto Liveline and apologised. One gig I was at, which I was comparing, was a charity gig. An older person who would have been in the show band era was singing, and he brought the house down. He was extraordinary, and I was like, I was completely blown away. And at the end, he stood up on a chair and did the last note, and then he stood at the chair, took his standing ovation, his applause, and looked around and called for me. And he said, Shay, come up here. I want to bring Shay Byrne up here. He's a great fella. You're wonderful. Thanks for coming, Shay. Thanks. He's a great compere. Then he pulled the mic away. He leaned down. He said, get me off this effing chair. So that was memorable.
That's like what your role is in life.
I was there with Jimmy Buckley brought his young
walking Zimmer frame Shea Byrne.
Jimmy Buckley brought his young daughter on stage 10 years ago to sing a song, and she blew the house down, and she has her own career now. So they're like, for me, they're little memorable things. Philomena Begley in the Live at the Marquee, she just had a serious heart operation. She comes on stage and she takes the house down. Those things, they resonate with me.
What venue? Slane or Whelan's? The Maggot Bin or the RDS?
The Maggot Bin. I think it depends. RDS, I'm never a big fan of the RDS. Outdoors, yes. Indoors was awful. I used to hate. The pillars were in the way. The sound was awful. The ceiling was low.
I saw Dylan indoor at the time of Simmons Court extension. It was just one of the worst and most boring nights of my life.
Well, don't tell Brian Lally, but yeah, I agree with you 100%. Slane, the logistics of getting it, it's a wonderful venue, wonderful place, and brings great prosperity to the area, but it's a hard one to get to. Ease in and out is a big thing for me, especially as you get older and your toilet intervals become shorter and shorter.
This is an item about prostate.
But that's why Electric Picnic, people love Electric Picnic, because you can, if you want to get there early, of course you'll hit the queues, but if you go a little bit later, if you book some accommodation nearby, the buses are good, there's plenty of toilets, there's plenty of food, there's different things to see. You know, if you want to be in a hot tub, a wood-fired hot tub at a gig, then go to Electric Picnic. I think when people hear about this item, that's what they think it'll all be about, the gig at Electric Picnic. But then there were extraordinary things at Electric Picnic. You're an Electric Picnic fan.
In its boutique phase, in its earlier years, but now I'm a little bit too fond of flushing toilets.
It's very important. It's very important.
It is,
but then there's
is.
Gigs. There's gigs that I want to go to that are legendary gigs. And one of them, and I wanted to mention, was Sheemsa Cushley. I still see clips from Sheemsa Cushley, and I think, God, I'd love to be there. And there's one iconic moment, and the camera pans around, and there are people sitting in Parky Queeve drinking pints of apple juice with ice, and looking up at the stage, and Stockton's Wing are playing "Beautiful Affair." It's beautiful.
When you feel like laying low and the mountains seem no closer than before, and you wonder why, you know in your mind it is nowhere to hide, and the only way is living to survive. It makes you feel alive. Little doors swing open, your life's unfolding before your very eyes. It's such a strange affair. Walking around, come into the sound. Forget your down, feel the air. Beautiful affair.
Let me just remind people why it is that they're listening to two owl fellas talking about their favourite gigs from yesteryears, because we want to hear from you. 51551 or todaycb@rte.ie. Please do get involved in the conversation on this. The thing that I loved about festivals, particularly the trip to TIP, was the chance to get to see a whole load of acts that I would never ever have gone to see, and the discoveries that you made along the way. Like for me, you just played Stockton's Wing there, who I wouldn't have seen unless I had gone. But Bagatelle as well, groups like that, it wouldn't have been necessarily on my playlist.
The late Liam Riley, fabulous. Yeah, again, and that's it. I went to, I was at Marley Park to see Tom Jones. I'm really putting myself in a musical hole here. But
Neil Sedaka, Tom Jones, take that.
And Van Morrison.
You present a music programme, yeah, well, yes?
I present it for everybody, not just the... What are your favourite gigs?
I've already listed most of them as well, but like, oh God. I think Radiohead, just after they had released OK Computer at the RDS, but again, it was memorable for all sorts of different reasons. I think mostly because it bucketed rain, and then he stood up there in front of everybody and said, yeah, do you know what? We weren't going to play it, but I think it's time for High and Dry, and brought the absolute house down. And then smaller, more intimate gigs. Like, I'm still big, big fan of the Maggot Bin, the Baggot Inn, and things like Fat Lady Sings gigs would be really, really strong, strong memories. Sinead O'Connor, in one review, was labelled as the Queen of Stradbally after her set at Electric Picnic in 2014. We'll just take a listen to this. She sang this with her daughter, Roisin. Take me to church.
Yeah.
you asked me about favourite gigs. That for me is a favourite gig that I didn't get to, because I hear that, just say, wow, that's fresh, that's brilliant.
And I think about the gigs that I would have liked to have seen that I'm not going to get to see. Elvis. I never get to see Elvis. That's someone I would have. The Beatles. I'll never get to see the Beatles. These are kind of Judy Garland. Philip just fell off his chair. Frank Sinatra. I just love all that stuff. You listen to Rising Time.
If I allowed you to bring back anybody from any point in musical history to play a live gig at which you could be in the mosh pit of, who would it be?
It's not going to be a mosh pit. It's going to be Elvis. I'd have to see that spectacle of Elvis live on stage with the full.
See, I thought you were going to say Oasis.
See, alive. Was it alive now or dead?
Well, I think permanently split, separated, because they're not getting back together again, those two, are they?
Definitely have to be Oasis. I'd love to see Oasis. My son is a huge Oasis fan. Very quickly, I know we're tight for time, he's a big Foo Fighters fan, so I said, yeah, I'll bring you, let's get tickets. We went to see them in, I think it was actually the RDS Outdoors, we went to see them in the RDS. It was raining heavily. We were at the front. It was extremely loud. I was cold.
Nothing unusual there, yeah.
My hypothermia was kicking in, and Dave Grohl came on stage and said, you MFs, we're going to play for 2.5 hours and we're not stopping. I was like, oh, Jesus. I'd love to see Oasis, though. I have to say, I would absolutely love to see Oasis.
All right. Shea Byrne, thank you very much. We'll end on a little bit of Oasis, but do remember, please, keep the stories, the gigs, the memories that you have to share with us coming in. todaycb@rte.ie or 51551, or even tweet at Today with Claire. Here you are. Bit of Wonderwall.
Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.